So I think you really have to figure out how to let go and realize, like, once you hit the ball, there's nothing you can do about it.
That was some serious great words of wisdom by the one and only Kennedy Adams. If you've never heard of Kennedy, she's a freshman here locally in Gallatin, Tennessee, who is going to be making her name known in a very short period of time because her game is stellar, but also you can tell by her quote there, she has the head for this game as well. So I'm going to go ahead and read off the accolades that she's achieved by her freshman year in high school. She competed and played well in the Women's U.S. Amateur this past year. She's competed at the Augusta National Drive, Chip, and Putt in 2015-2016. She's made it to the round of 16 in the U.S. Women's Amateur four ball. She's competed in the 2018 Evian Cup. She's top 15 to PGA Junior in 2017. She has three top five finishes at U.S. Kids Worlds, top 15 at the ANA Junior Inspiration 2018, finished top five at the AJGA Open in Las Vegas. She was an AJGA Junior All-Star in 2017 and a Reynolds Junior All-Star in 2017-2018. This girl's got game. So let's dive into what she has to say for us, and I hope you enjoy this interview as much as I did. Ladies and gentlemen, today on the podcast, we have Miss Kennedy Adams. She is a phenomenal junior golfer in the local area that I've had the very fortunate pleasure of meeting here as of late. Her little brother runs around on my U.S. Kids Junior Tour, and I have to keep him in line on a weekly basis. But Kennedy has a phenomenal game in her own right. Colleges are seeking her out. Like, everybody's trying to get a Powerball ticket right now. And I think we're going to see her name down the road in a very, very soon future on television. So if you would, Miss Kennedy, please introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kennedy Adams, and I play out at Fairview Plantation in Foxlands. I guess it's now Tennessee Grasslands, but I've been playing since I was three, and I'm a freshman in high school, and I do online school.
So, Kennedy, how did you get into the game of golf, starting at such a young age? What kind of, if you can remember, what kind of spurred you into wanting to play the game?
Well, I know that my mom and dad used to go out on dates, and they would go to the golf course, and I would have to tag along. So for my third birthday, they brought me clubs, and I don't know, I've just been playing ever since. My dad thought I had a good swing, so I kept with it, and I worked hard at it, and here I am.
That's awesome. What other sports did you play growing up, if any?
Oh, my goodness. I played so many. I played soccer, basketball. I was on a swim team, and I danced. So I did all kinds of stuff.
Well, that's good. I mean, being a well-rounded athlete is always good for the long-term development.
Yeah, sure.
When did you decide that, like, golf was the sport, though?
I think in third grade, right after soccer season had ended, I was just kind of thinking about it, and my dad and mom were thinking about it, too, and we decided that it was a little too much to be playing all those different sports, so we had to cut a couple off, and at the time, I loved soccer, and but it was worth it to give it up, and I think it's definitely paid off.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I would agree with that just a little bit, looking at your track record. So, you know, it's fun to, you know, talk about our journey in golf and the things that we get to do and the experiences that we get to, partake in. And you, with your skill set, has taken you to a plethora of awesome venues and experiences. Name, you know, maybe two or three of the favorite things that you've got to go do because of golf.
I think definitely one of the highlights of my year this year was getting to play in the 2018 U.S. Women's Amateur. That was extremely fun, and I know my dad had it circled on the list of events for this year because it was at the Golf Club of Tennessee,
right?
And that is where he used to caddy. So when I qualified, we were both super excited, and he was excited to get to go back and caddy there. But it was super cool to see how the USGA set it up at that course, especially because I've played out there so many times, and it's such a beautiful course, and the USGA always does such a good job. And getting to go to the opening ceremony party and all the ice cream and stuff in the locker room and the cowboy boots as a gift, it was incredible. It was an awesome tournament.
Leave it to a teenage girl to get excited about the cowboy boots and the ice cream.
Yes, that was awesome. And I think another incredible experience that I got to have this year was playing in the Evian Cup down in France right after the LPGA Women's Evian Championship. That was also an incredible experience. We got to see the last round of the championship and watch them play, and then we competed against 18 other countries, and we pulled out the win. So that was pretty incredible.
That was awesome. Yeah, I remember seeing that on social media. That was really cool. To not only get to do that, but the rare air that is breathed when you get to go to those events, because not every kid gets that opportunity, is just really, really unique.
It was so lucky.
Oh, yeah. So let me ask this question then. Since you've played at some of these events where you get to see some of these upper echelon, you know, junior golfers like yourself, what would you say is maybe a difference that is, you know, whether it's in the tournament setup or whether it's in the players in the field, what would you say is maybe the biggest difference in playing in something like, you know, the AJGA Tournament Champions, the Evian Cup, or things like that, the U.S. Women's AM? You know, what would you feel like? What feels the most different to you when you teed up in those events versus when you were playing like on the SNEDS tour or just a, you know, a regular 2-day, 3-day tournament?
Well, I think, you know, that there's so many good players, and you know that to be there, you have to be one of them too. But the setups are a lot different, especially when you get into the bigger tournaments like the USGA events and the AJGA Invitationals and things like that. They treat you like a rock star. You're there for, I don't know, a week maybe. And there's so many different things you get to do. And like I said, the parties are always really fun. And sometimes they have like ping pong tables and everybody will have competitions. Like at Rolex Tournament of Champions last year, had a big ping pong competition. And it's just different things like that where you get to hang out with all of them, and whereas you're not on the golf course and you just get to be friends. Then you get up the next morning and you're back to being a competitor again. It's so fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah, well, for sure. And that's where I think they do it right, is they realize that y'all are still kids and nobody's getting a paycheck at the end of the week. So you got to make sure everybody's still
exactly. Yeah.
So when you're preparing for events, and let me back up before we even do that. When you're looking at your schedule, like you talked about how the U.S. Women's AM was circled on the calendar because you knew it was in your hometown and it's an important facility with regard to your family. How do you plan your schedule? And we'll piggyback into that a little bit later about how your homeschooling helps you with this, but how do you plan a tournament schedule so you know you're playing in all the right events so that colleges are looking at you and things like that?
Well, I really just try to play the biggest events I can. Getting to play a lot of AJGA Invitationals last year really helped me, and playing in big USGA events also helps. And I think this year we're going to try to play more amateur events to try to get my WAGGR ranking up. So, and that's important because you can get exempt into things like the USAM or the US Junior. But I think we did mess up a little bit this year because we did play, I think I had 5 nights where I was in my bed in July.
Oh,
which
my
is
gosh.
Absolutely insane. I think it was way too much for me, but I did get to play in some super cool events. But it was a good learning experience, and hopefully we'll not have as many this year.
Well, you know, and that's a good point too. I had a similar experience when I was a sophomore. I played in like 27 or 30 events, I think, in the course of the 8 months the season was there. And it just wears on you.
It does. You get tired.
Exactly. And I think that's a big part of planning, that you know, with your schedule intrigues me because, you mean you were over playing in France only a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. You know, that's big as a kid. And it so, how do you juggle your school load and your competitive schedule, and as well as getting in your practice? How does Kennedy sit down and plan out a week or a month as far as making sure that she's getting her grades and her, you know, her business done with the golf course?
It's hard because I would rather go work on my game than sit down and do school because I'm trying to get the best that I can be. But yeah, you definitely have to make sure you get it done. But so, I usually go out in the morning and play and practice, and then around maybe like five or six, I'll come back and do a little bit of school, and then Tuesdays and Thursdays I have a workout. So there's just a bunch of stuff that goes into it, but you have to really sit down and make sure you do the school, because that's the part that I usually forget.
No, I agree. Yeah, you know, it's a little bit important if you want to get into college, right?
It is.
So, I want to circle back real quick because I just remembered I was going to ask you something. You talked about your WAGGR ranking. For those that may not be familiar with that, what is that and why is it important to you?
So, that's the World Amateur Golf Rankings. And it's all college players and then all amateurs. So, it's important because it does help you. If you are ranked high enough, like let's say top 20, 50 or something like that, you can get exempt into big events like the U.S. Amateur, the U.S. Junior, or like a lot of the college girls get to play LPGA events because they're ranked so high. So it's definitely important later on when I am in college. But I think for me, I want to start playing some more amateur events so that I can get points on WAGGR and start to see my ranking go up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that makes a lot of sense in the opportunity that ranking has to expose you to what your future is going to hold.
Exactly.
So now, we talked about the schedule a little bit. How do you prep for an event? So you got your major, your Evian Cup, or you know, the US Museum. How are you preparing for that? When do you start preparing, and what's in your mind when you're getting ready for it?
Well, I really think you prepare your whole life for events. Like, I don't think you're ever really preparing for one event. You're just trying to do your best that you can. So I think the biggest club for me in my bag is driver, because if you can hit the fairway, you can most likely put it on the green, and that's super important. So I really try to make sure that my driver's working. This year it wasn't working too well, but it happens and you go through things. But definitely working on your short game, chipping and putting, that is super important. I've seen there's so many people that can hit the fairway, but then they can't get the ball in the hole, and that's a bit of a struggle. So, but definitely being able to tip and putt and get up and down from places that may look impossible, and then showing people that you can do it, that's awesome. I love it.
Oh, definitely. Well, so let me ask you this question then, since you you already threw it out there that the driver was giving you a little bit of headache this season. Yeah. When you don't have the confidence that you know you've had in the past with a club like your driver, how are you or how do you combat that little bit of shaky confidence and stand up there and know that you got a, you know, 550 par five and you got to hit driver to make sure you can get it there? What goes through your mind, or how do you cope with that?
It's super hard. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to learn. And, but I think the biggest part is the confidence, because you know you can hit the club, but you haven't been, and so you kind of start thinking too much, and you're like, okay, I needed to make sure this gets in the fairway, and you try too hard, and there's all these different things that go into it, and then you tighten up and you can't even hit the ball. And so I think you really have to figure out how to let go and realize, like, once you hit the ball, there's nothing you can do about it. So that's the biggest part for me, is the let go part, because I always want to make sure that stuff happens, and you can't do that in golf. It's not going to work. But I'm still trying to figure it out, and I'm still learning.
No, I mean, that's great
advice. Confidence is a big part. Yeah.
I mean, that's great advice. I mean, what I tell a lot of the kids that I teach, and you've already kind of highlighted to it, is the minute that ball makes contact to the club face, you're just as much a spectator as everybody else around you. So you can only control everything leading up to that moment. And so your mindset plays a big part in that. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, knowing that there's a little bit of doubt with what lies ahead when you hit this shot, but letting go of the fear of what could happen if it goes sideways, and knowing that you've hit this club before, you've hit this shot before, you know you can do it, and just getting up there and being a beast and doing it is huge.
Exactly.
it is. That was great. That was great insight. Let me ask you this question. If kind of still riding on that, you know, if the round's not going the way you want, is there a shot that you like to hit that you know you can kind of lean on? Like for me, if I'm not flagging it with my irons, I'll step it down to like a little 3/4 cutty, you know, irons play, just to know that, just because I know I can steer it around the golf course that way. Is there something that you lean on to get you through a round where it might be going a little sideways?
Yeah. So, I do with irons and wedges, I do try to just take 3/4 swings, because usually when I get it going sideways, it's because I'm taking it too far back. At the top, and then I get across the line. So taking 3/4 swings really helps me. And then on the driver, I like to hit this low cut shot. So I tee it down pretty low, where the ball is probably in the center of the face, like of the driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just put a cut swing on it, and it just has a little butter cut, and it does help me a lot, because I have had to go back to it a good amount this year. So I'm glad I have that shot.
Darn right. I get that. Absolutely. So you're talking about, you got your workouts kicking. What made you realize that the physicality of the game and the nutrition in the game, you know, was going to make a difference for you? Was there like a moment where you're coming down a tournament and realize you're like on 13 and you're like, man, my legs are killing me, I'm hungry, and I haven't peed in like 4 hours, I think there might be something wrong? Or, you know, what kind of spurred the idea that fitness and nutrition was there for you?
Well, I think I've always had a pretty good stamina from playing like soccer and basketball, but going from like golf week events to playing AJGA events to playing the invitationals, you see that some of the girls do work out, and they all hit it a pretty decent way. They're not really short. Most of them hit it like 240. And so seeing that, and then, you know, you watch movies like The Short Game, and one of my friends, Amari Avery, you know, you see her doing push-ups, like 50 push-ups. And I mean, I couldn't do 50 push-ups when I was 11. But so you see things like that, and then it makes you want to get stronger, and you want to make sure you can outdrive people, and it's fun being the longest person in the group. But I think definitely for me, it's my legs have gotten so much stronger, and I think that's important for me because I use my legs in my swing a ton.
Yeah, everybody
does. So it's helped me gain strength and power, and balls going forward and far.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're absolutely right. And you know, guys and girls are built a little differently too. And so for, you know, a lot of the girls too, getting some of that strength in your wrists and your forearms, a lot, you know, helps prevent a lot of the injuries. That's like one of the big ones for lady golfers, is your wrists, you know, and having that strength in your hands and things like that. So, you know, kudos to you for being a freshman and already figuring out that, you know, getting some working in the gym is going to pay off in the long run. That's big. Do you do anything nutritionally? Like, are you watching what you eat, or how do you judge what you eat during a round?
I do try to have pretty healthy snacks, and then at tournaments like AJGA events, they usually do have Clif bars and bananas, so it's pretty easy to eat well when you're at those kind of events. But I do try to throw fruit in there and a little bit of protein.
Yeah, so you mean the ice cream bar doesn't carry you through the 18-hole round?
It does not, unfortunately.
No, you're right. I was joking with somebody last year. If I could play tournament golf for a living, I'd probably shed about another 20 pounds because of the way I eat when I play golf versus the way I eat when I'm not. I think as you go to college and you get into the college ranks, I think you're going to keep learning and developing some of these, the physical side of things, as you develop and you mature and things like that, then it's just going to become a lot easier because your brain as a junior golfer and as a junior itself, your frontal cortex and parts of your brain haven't finished developing the synapse and the connection mm-hmm. until you're 25. I recently adapted to that. But what do you do for the psychological side of the game? Are you reading up on books? Are you doing meditation? How do you keep yourself mentally fresh and mentally sharp as you play through a schedule where you only sleep in your bed 5 nights out of a month?
Yeah, that's another thing that I've kind of been struggling with as well, is the mental side of it. But I recently did start using a meditation app, and I can tell you for a fact that has helped, where I just lay down for a minute and not think about anything, just breathe. It's super nice and it's so relaxing, and I think it definitely does help. And sometimes I do read books. I have a couple of golf books that I'll read for the mental game, but it's definitely something that I'm still trying to figure out, and it's definitely an important part of the golf game.
Oh, for sure. What's your favorite golf psyche book that you've read?
So I read a book called Golf Is Not a Game of Perfect. And I think that was a pretty good book.
Yeah, that was a life-changing one for my wife when she was in college. I think, that's great that you are doing that meditation where you kind of, turn things off, go in a dark room and let your brain just kind of detach from society a little bit. It's so easy now with cell phones and Instagram to not do that. And you think you're relaxing by staring at the Instagram pages as you roll through all your favorite pages. So it definitely does good stuff as far as long-term, letting yourself be able to play over a long period of time. What's the app, if you don't mind me asking, just because I'm a curious, quizzical guy?
So the app is called Headspace.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And they do give you a couple of free trials to use, but I think that eventually you do have to pay for them. So that's the only. That's
you got to work out that sponsorship.
Right.
So going back to the physical portion, obviously a little bit. There's obviously technical portions to the game. When you go to the driving range, you go to the short game green, you're trying to work on more of your mechanics, I guess, because you're not playing. What's some of the ways that you practice that you find is helping you develop the skills you need to go onto the golf course?
So are you asking about games maybe?
Yeah, you can just play games or drills that are favorite for you that build confidence for you, things like that.
So we do have baskets on our range at Fairview, and I think hitting into those for me, moving the baskets around and putting them at different distances, that definitely helps me a lot, just to be able to feel what the shot feels like if it's 60 yards, and then make sure the ball is on line and it's the right distance with further wedges. So, and then I also play a game called Worst Ball on the course. And that, let me tell you, that is a rough game. So basically, you play two balls to every shot. So you hit two drives and then you pick the worst one. And then from that shot, you hit two, and then you pick the worst one. So basically, you just keep picking the worst one, but it's a stupid hard game. But it definitely does help a lot.
Oh, yeah. Worst ball is a real, what's the right word? Eye-opener, probably.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so I play a couple of different variations of that game. So, you have your worst ball, and what I'll do, and I'll do best ball too, right? That's always the fun one.
Yeah.
But what I'll do is I'll number the golf balls 1, 2, and if I play 3 balls, 3. And then I'll see which one is where, you know, where did I break down? So like if you're playing worst ball, was it the first shot that went out of play? And that's when we had to play. And then the second one was striped down the middle. Or was it the first one was striped and then having to deal with the pressure of producing a second one and I pumped that out of play? You know, so that way you can kind of look into, you know, where is it breaking down when I play those games? Am I better than I think I am? And I can stand, like, when we play best ball, right? I tell a lot of high handicappers to play best ball because, you know, a lot of them don't think they're that great. And it's really kind of like they work themselves up into this tizzy, and the first shot's awful, and then they stripe the second and third one, but they'll tell me that they're terrible. And I'm like, well, you really hit two pretty good shots, but I think it was a psychological defect in number one. And so, you know, it can bring about some awareness when you kind of, the more specific and measured your practice gets, the better you can see the errors in your way and how you can develop from there. So worst ball is definitely a one that finds the gaps, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's a tough game. And I also learned this new game from Stephen Fox, who's a U.S. amateur champion.
Yeah.
And he's a member of the club. And so basically it's like pig, like in basketball. But so let's say he was going first. So he picks the putt, and then the other person picks if they want him to putt it or if they want to putt it.
Ooh.
And then if they putt it and they miss, then they get a P. But if they make it, then he gets a P, and then vice versa. But
like
we played it the other day, and I beat him twice, and I don't think he was very happy about that because he had to do push-ups. But it's a fun game.
Well, good for you. Beat up on that guy for me, will you?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while. He's a good dude.
He is.
What's one of your favorites to play on the golf course? I mean, obviously you said worst ball is one that you play out there, but what's like, you know, if it's you and, you know, three of your best friends out there playing in a group, you know, how do y'all compete against each other? Do y'all just play some stroke play? Do you play partners? What's some of your favorite games on the course?
So we do sometimes play for different things like ice cream, or you have to clean our clubs, or, clean the shoes or different things like that. So we do play a little bit of match play sometimes, and then in practice rounds for tournaments, if I'm playing with a bunch of my friends, we'll do a four ball, and we'll have something to play for, and that's always fun. And then sometimes it may get tougher if we're playing just at Fairview or Fox, and then we'll back it up to the tips and play from there and see who can do the best. But different games like that, I think, are very important because you put pressure on yourself to make sure you don't let your partner down or to make sure you don't lose. And I think that's super important.
Yeah, I'm here to tell you, having to clean my best friend's shoes is not going to fly with me. So that's motivation enough for me to, you know, to win everything I have to look at.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, nothing worse than cleaning a sneaky pair of shoes. What's the recruitment process been like for you? So, you know, you know, we won't talk about the schools that are already looking into you, but there's multiple. But what's that whole phase been like to you? Is it been kind of like a little jaw dropping at the attention that you've gotten from different schools? Have different colleges kind of surprised you that you didn't think were going to look at you, or has this been like such a game plan from third grade that, you know, this is where we're at, this is what we plan to be, and now we're there?
So I played in golf league tournaments when I was young, and I think the first time I ever saw a coach was the UK coach, and I was playing out at their course in Kentucky, and I think it kind of shocked me a little bit because I didn't really think that it happened that soon, and I didn't really think I was good enough either. And so I think I went on my first visit, and it was to UK, and I think I was 10. But at that time, I didn't really think I was good enough to go there. But it's been crazy to see as I've progressed and gotten to play in AJGA events and then the Invitationals and then big USGA events. It's been crazy to see all the different people come out and watch, and it's mind-blowing to me because I never thought I really had a chance at that. But I was lucky enough to go out and visit all the schools that I wanted to before they changed the rule, and that was awesome because we got to go to different games. Like, I got to go to a couple football games and some basketball games, and that was crazy. It was so much fun. But we were lucky enough to get that in before the rule. But now they changed the rule, and I don't know. That's going to be hard for people.
Yeah. You know, I think the change is going to bring about some interesting developments as far as how recruitment goes going forward. But what were when you're looking at these schools, what is your criteria for the school itself? Does it matter how far away it is from home, the size of the school? Like, what were some of your criteria when you started getting these phone calls that helped you weed out the process some?
I think for sure coaches and teammates, like the people that are already going to be there or the people they're looking at, are definitely a big thing because you're going to be around them a good bit, and it would stink to go to a place where you don't really necessarily like your teammates or your coach. So I think that's a big deal. And I think the practice facilities and the golf course and how far away it is from the campus is definitely a big part because that's where you're going to get better and that's where you want to spend time. And if it's too far away, then it kind of stinks because you have to drive a long way. But I think that's definitely a big part too. And to me, I think academics is probably a pretty important part because the difference between like a public school, kind of a public school degree rather than a private school, it's pretty different.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you're sniffing out the right stuff there, kid. What do you want to study? Have you thought about that yet as far as academics go?
I have not, but I really like math and science, so I'm thinking something in there. Yeah, but we'll see. It could change.
STEM, that'd be good. A lot of money be made in STEM degrees, I'll tell you that. What's been one of your favorite moments on the golf course while you've been playing? So, you know, whether it's, you know, had a college coach stand there watching you for the first time and you strike the drive, or making a hole in one with playing with dad and your brother or whatever. What's kind of been, you know, a couple of those, that standout moment on the golf course?
I think for me, it was probably when I was 10 and I played in the U.S. Kids World Championship, and I had done okay the first 2 days. And I think we got down the final four holes, and I had bogeyed the last two or something weird like that. And my dad was like, "Well, I don't think we're gonna have a chance anymore to be on the stage, because that's all I wanted was to be on the stage and get a trophy. And to do that, you had to be top five." And I was kind of upset about it. And then I was like, "You know what? I have four holes left. I can make something happen." So then I ended up finishing eagle, birdie, birdie, I think, or eagle, ooh, birdie, par, birdie, or something like that. And all I know is that I proved to myself that I could do it, and was clutch when I had to be clutch, and I made it on the stage.
Well, I think you said something to yourself that you had to say before all that happened, is that you recognize the parameters in which you had laid before you. You had four holes to go, but you also mm-hmm. had the mindset of, I have four holes to go. That's at least four more birdies. It wasn't like, yeah, Oh God, I got four holes to go. Jeez. Yeah. I was like, no, I got four. Let's go. I think that's what makes you such a great beast at this game, kid, is that you have the right mindset. You like to chew on those moments. What was drive, chip, and putt? What was drive, chip, and putt like at Augusta? What was that experience like?
Oh, that was such an incredible experience. I had tried out the first year that they started doing it, and I didn't make it. And so the second year I tried again, and I got in, and I was super excited. And I got to Augusta, and they had people meet you at the door, and there was a game room, and you had a big dinner with all these famous people. And it was insane. But I think everybody there liked the game room the best. That was everybody's favorite part. If you ask anybody, I think that's what they would tell you. But definitely getting to hit on the driving range and then put on the 18th green, that was a pretty incredible experience. And then to be able to go back and do it twice was incredible.
Oh, yeah. It'd be incredible just to go once and you got to do it twice. I mean, that's like double-dipping the chip for sure.
I remember when I was trying to qualify again, and they had, it was at Valhalla Country Club was the last place. And I think I had hit either two or three of my drives in. I can't really remember, but they had this chip and it was straight downhill and there wasn't much green to work with, and it was coming out of the rough. And I hit this huge flop shot and I think I got like 25 points. Which isn't very good, but I remember winning. I remember crying. I was so upset, but I ended up winning the chipping and then won and went again to Augusta. So that was crazy.
You know, those qualifiers that they have for the drive, chip, and putt. I mean, that, you know, that's some serious pressure. That, you know, you stand up there. You got three drives. You got three chips. And you got three putts. And you know, the driving isn't weighted that bad. It's really, really, if you miss the grid, you're done. But when you get to the chipping and the putting, I was looking at some of those stats of how you get points. I'm sitting there going, I'm going to get my butt whipped by a bunch of these little kids because I can chip it that close. You know, and it's impressive when they have it on TV and they're watching you guys compete. And some of the shots that you guys are able to hit at such a young age is just sheerly impressive, especially considering some of the conditions like Augusta with the green speed and rough length and stuff like that. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Definitely something to be proud of. And this is one of the final questions I have for you. What was one of the best lessons that you learned from playing the game of golf that, you know, maybe you were able to apply to life? Or you know, something along those lines. What did golf teach you as an individual?
So I think for me, I think golf is a lot like life. You have so many disappointments, but then there's also so many good moments too. And I think from last year to this year, I've had so many ups and downs. but I think that a lot of it is learning how not to try so hard, and you have to be able to let go, and you can't think too much about it. And I think that's something that I've learned and I'm still trying to work on, because the biggest part, I think that the biggest part of the game is probably mental, because your body already knows what to do. Your body knows how to swing the club. Your body knows what speed to put the putt at. Like, it's not like you forget. It's just, you think about it too much, or you're trying to make sure it happens, and that's definitely a hard part of it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it coming from a guy that teaches people for a living, it's amazing to me the switch that flips off on people's brains when they go from the golf driving range to the golf course, or even just hitting balls without me watching to having me watch. You know, I tell a lot of kids this when I'm working with them as they progress. It's like, you know, you figure it out on the driving range how, you know, the swing change that's necessary to start hitting the ball, you know, at a level that's, you know, elite. Like, you figure out how to do that on the driving range, and you figure out how to do it like without messing it up, And then you figure out how to do it on a golf course playing with mom and dad. Then you figure out how to do it in a tournament. And then you figure out how to do it on, you know, on the third or second round. Then you figure out how to do it in the third or second round with the lead. You know, and it's like it builds in stages. And we're in a day and age now where I think we all want instant gratification. And that first time we're in the heat of the moment, we got a 2-shot lead with 4 holes to go. It's the second day. You got 4 people breathing down your neck. And you've never been there before, but we expect ourselves to finish strong. It's like, whew, it's a heavy load. Good luck.
Yeah.
You know, and learning from any failure that you have to be able to apply it to that moment is, I think, the difference. And it sounds like you do a good job of recognizing where you're at and the development that you've needed to be at that level that you're competing at now. And so my hat's off to you, kid. You're doing a fantastic job.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
So my last and final question, and then I'll leave you alone, and you can go back to your practice routines. If you can leave a final message, and I ask everybody this, if you can leave a final message to the kids and parents out there listening right now, what would be something that you want to leave behind for everybody to think about as they go out and practice and play? What's something that you've learned that you would like to share with others?
I think that I would probably say that it's not easy and you're not going to get it today. So it's going to take a ton of work and you have to have a lot of patience and you have to know that it's getting better even when it looks like it's not getting better. And, it requires a lot of mental toughness for sure. So you got to be able to stick with it and you can't get frustrated, which that's extremely hard, but can't get too frustrated and you have to make sure that you're still learning and just keep trying. Don't ever give up.
Amen on that one, sister. Miss Kennedy, I thank you for your time this morning. It was very insightful for me to hear about all the things that you've got to go through and the experiences that you get to partake in. And know that you got another fan rooting behind you over here on this side of the phone call. And I look forward to watching you progress. And I just want you to remember that when you're famous on TV, just, you know, save a couple autographs for this pro, okay?
I will. Thank you so much, Mr. Walter, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Kennedy. Thank you. And that's a wrap for Miss Kennedy. If y'all didn't learn something from that interview about how mentally tough and how mature a 14-year-old can be, then you didn't pay enough attention. This girl is years ahead of your typical junior golfer. And I would tell you this, she can put together a mindset that has allowed her to dominate up until this point, and she will continue to do so, I believe. So you better believe that I'm going to follow along this girl's journey to see when she makes it, because she's going to do big things, I believe, and I think she's got the right attitude for it. And as long as she wants that, I think she'll achieve it. Plus, can't speak highly enough about the parents. They do a great job of really putting her in the right places, getting her on the right tracks to be involved in the right capacity so that she can succeed on her own. And you are seeing the fruits of that labor take shape, and she's only just now getting to high school. So, hope you took good notes. If not, go back and listen to it again. And if you would, please subscribe to the podcast on whatever form of podcast app you're listening it on. Leave me a review. I would greatly appreciate it. A great 5-star review. And if you want to, you can connect with us on social media, either Instagram and Twitter at MattWalterPGA or on the Facebook with Junior Golf Blueprint. Until next time, have a great day.